Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 20th day of April, 2022. I'm always thrilled to have back as a frequently recurring guest, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And by the way, keep your ears peeled for an upcoming advertising campaign that will be launched, God willing, in the very near future, promoting Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. We thank God that they have deemed Iron Sharpens Iron Radio valuable enough to use some of the money that God has blessed them with to keep us in existence. So they have sponsored an ad campaign, and God willing, that campaign will begin very soon on this program. Well, every day you'll be hearing two ads promoting Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And today we are going to be addressing part three of a theme that we began over a week ago, and that theme is an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
Always a joy, Chris.
Well, as always, for the sake especially of those who have not heard you on this program before, tell our listeners about Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia.
Heritage Presbyterian Church is a small congregation in Hanover Presbytery. We have 50 or 60 people on Sunday morning. It's a bedroom community of Atlanta, Georgia. People come from all kinds of backgrounds, but we are united in the truth. That is, we believe that biblical Christianity in its purest human expression is found in the Westminster Standards. We're dedicated to the Great Commission. We spend a lot of effort trying to win people for Christ here around us. We spend a great amount of effort and money with missionaries this report, like somebody in Brazil. We sent a team to Mexico recently to witness to illegal aliens down there at the border. And so it is a great and growing and friendly and godly and reformed organization.
Well, if anybody wants to know more about this church, go to heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com. And Joe, in our discussions, our first two discussions on your assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century, I don't think that we have quite reached the 21st century yet, but if you could pick up where you left off in history of things that you want to highlight, both the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, sir. I think one reason that the church in the 20th and early 21st century hasn't gotten any farther along than it has is because the failure of evangelicals to live like the sons of Issachar. You remember the sons of Issachar were in Old Testament Israel's army, and the Bible says of them, they were men who understood their times and they knew what to tell Israel to do. That's two things. Number one, they understood what was going on, what the war was all about, what's the difference between the Canaanites and Israel. They understood their times. They weren't naive. And secondly, they knew the Word of God. They knew what God had given them in the books of Moses, how they were to live and shape their cultures. They knew what to tell Israel to do. And once evangelicals in America today learn those two things again, we'll march ahead even more rapidly than we had to tell people to understand our times and to tell people what to do from the Word of God. Understanding the times also involves understanding how we got to where we are. And the thing that always disappoints me when I talk to many evangelicals and even some Reformed people about when our culture started unraveling, they think it was because of Biden, and it wasn't. They think it was because of Obama, or they think it was because of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or even some of my Southern friends think it was because of the Civil War. And all of those have had terrible influences on our culture, but I want to read a verse to you that says more than we've got to recognize that this applies to America. God tells Israel through Jeremiah that he's going to send the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar to burn Jerusalem to the ground because of its evil and its apostasy. And then in Jeremiah 32:31, it says, God says, indeed, this city of Jerusalem has been to me a provocation of my anger and my wrath from the day that they built it, even to this day, that it should be removed from before my face. So this was 586 B.C. And God's saying, I started being angry with Israel as soon as you built it, because you started carrying the seeds of your own destruction with you in the building of Jerusalem and the formation of this covenant nation. And then it took a while. God had to destroy the northern kingdom, but then in 586, 600 years after the building of Jerusalem, he destroyed the southern kingdom. Now, I think that's true of the United States as well. Our founding fathers, and I mean by that the Puritans, I mean by that the good guys, the people we love, the people that founded Plymouth, Massachusetts Bay, and all the rest. They carried the seeds of America's destruction with them in the very building of the New World. Now, what do I mean by that? These men and women were reformed. They were not just sort of reformed. They were thoroughly and truly and tenaciously reformed. And they were dedicated to building a reformed civilization based upon the Word of God with Jesus Christ as King. And they weren't aware that they were carrying the seeds of what would eventually be Joe Biden as president of the United States. But before I explain what I mean, there is a great book, Guise of Every Graceless Heart. The Guise, G-U-I-S-E, of Every Graceless Heart. That book I read, it's a hardback book, but it's only just less than 100 pages. And I've given away scores of that book, published by Rush Dooney's organization. And it's on the subject, why did the great New England empire collapse? Why did it fall? That for many years it was a strong Christian and reformed culture. It survived Indian attacks and wars. It survived threats and lies of the King of England. And it was a mighty force for righteousness and thoroughly Puritan and thoroughly Christian except for one thing. And that is they gave too much room to human reason. Let me put it in another way. Their Thomism eventually ate up their Augustinianism. What that means is Augustine, who lived in the 5th century, was one of the truly great men since the New Testament. And he's the one in his books, The City of God, taught us that Christians are civilization builders. We are not to live in this life just to seek to win individuals for Christ before Jesus comes back and burns everything up. That we are to build civilizations. And those civilizations must be based upon the Word of God. And any knowledge we have of God is based on faith in that Word. As long as Augustine was the most influential man for several centuries, the church had a lot of strength to it. But then in about the 13th century, a man came along named Thomas Aquinas. And his philosophy is called Thomism, T-H-O-M-I-S-M. And Thomas Aquinas also believed in a lot of great things. He believed in predestination, and he believed in the law of God, but he disagreed with Augustine. He said, in so many words, he said, Augustine said that our knowledge is based on our faith. He said, it's the other way around. Faith is based on knowledge. That is, on reason. We believe what we can reason out in our minds. And so once the church started believing that compromised view, that there were some areas of life, now obviously this is oversimplification, that there were some areas of life that you could understand apart from the Bible, without the Bible's guidance. Augustine said, we need the Word of God to understand any area of life. But Thomism says there are some areas of life we don't need the Word of God for. We only need reason. That led to the Middle Ages and the betrayal of the church, of the Christian civilization in the Middle Ages by the church. It created the Renaissance, which was not a Christian movement. And then later the Enlightenment. And what those movements said was, well, Mr. Aquinas, if you don't need the Bible to understand some areas of life, you don't need the Bible to understand any area of life. And so the West would have fallen quicker than it did if it wasn't for the Reformation that made as its goal the restoration of Augustinianism and the defeat of Thomism. And so Calvin said over and over again, he was just an Augustinian, that you must have the Word of God to interpret every area of life. And so the Reformation stopped, to some degree, Thomism, but it didn't stop it completely, because even the great reformers and Puritans did not escape the idea that there's some areas of life that we can understand by reason alone, apart from the Word of God. And that has stayed in the church and has grown, and as Francis Schaeffer would say, eventually nature ate up grace. So what we're seeing now with Joe Biden and all the rest, and the preachers we have in the pulpits today, what we're seeing is the result of the seeds of destruction that were sown in America with our founding fathers, who wanted to be straight and on target, but who brought Thomism, which was actually Greek philosophy, into their theology and philosophy. Jonathan Edwards, I love. Jonathan Edwards was a great man of God. I've read his books. I've plagiarized his sermons. he was great. But whenever he wrote on philosophy, he was an atheist. his philosophy was atheistic, because it was based not on the Word of God, but on reason. And, I mean, that's a terrible thing to say, but I'm trying to make the point that we are what we are, not because of an election in 2020, but we are where we are in this country because of the seeds that were planted by the great men of God. Now, that should cause us to live in great fear and trembling, because we're tasting something of a revival among the preaching of Calvinism and the formation of Calvinistic churches in this country since the middle 20th century. And we have more and more churches that love the Westminster Confession of Faith, 1689 Confession of Faith. We believe those are telling the truth and expounding the scriptures accurately. Is there anything in our thinking as individual men and women, anything in what we're trying to get across and what we're teaching and what we're trying to lead people to believe, that unintentionally is inconsistent with the Reformed faith and the Word of God? Every preacher, every Sunday he preaches, ought to preach in fear and trembling. I've been preaching since I was 12 years old, and I'm now 78. And I never preach that I'm not nervous before I preach the sermon, because I know what I'm doing. I know the great responsibility that I have before God of holding people's souls in my hands. And I don't want to lead them in the wrong direction. So we thank God for the great men and women that have laid a firm foundation for us in the past. But we also realize that man's a frail thing, and man is not a perfect thing. And so we pray, Lord, help us to learn from our past. That's why it's so important to know history. Help us to learn from our past. Help us to imitate the strength of the men and women that have preceded us, and help us to avoid the mistakes of those that have preceded us. I think one of the best books, if not the best book, on all the various seeds, false seeds, tear seeds, that have been planted in American history through our history, the best book on the subject I know is by Greg Singer, who's not with us, he's in heaven. Greg Singer was a friend of mine and a great, great man. Lived to be up in his 90s. Last time I heard him preach, he gave over an hour lecture, and he was over 90 years old, and he didn't have any notes. But the name of his book is A Theological Interpretation of American History. The one thing in that book I disagree with is in the introduction, where he would be more critical of the Declaration of Independence than I am. But nevertheless, after having said that, this is a book that I have read over and again, that I've preached through over and again. Because if we're going to understand what's happening in our culture correctly, and where the roots of its destruction have been sown, and if we want to give answers that are solid and effectual, we've got to know where all this came from. If we just think it's a political thing, if we just think it's because the liberals got in charge of the government, and the socialists got in charge of public schools, if that's all we think it is, our answers are going to be ineffectual. And if we think that the issue of all issues in the 20th and 21st century is abortion, we're going to give ineffectual answers. I believe abortion is murder. I believe it's a conspiracy to commit murder, that anybody who had a part in abortion should be brought before a court of law, and if found guilty, executed. That includes the doctor, the nurses, anybody that paid for it, anybody that drove the car to get the woman there. I hate abortion. I don't want to downplay the wickedness of abortion, but I am going to say that though abortion is more important than any of our economic issues today, and even more important than any of our international issues, It's not the most important issue today. The most important issue today is Christ or Caesar. The most important issue is the source of law. The most important issue is who is king, man or Jesus. And so Christians, if we're going to do what we want to do, and that is work toward a solution, bring some change, we've got to know where this culture came from so we can know what the real answers are. Besides knowing where it came from, we've got to know where it's supposed to go. Now, it can only go downhill if things don't change. And I expect it to go downhill for a little while longer. But we got to know what the goal is. What does God want us to do with this culture? We know several of the bad things. We got immorality. We got perversion, transgender, homosexual, statism, all those things. We got all those. Where does God want us to wind up? That is, what is the model? What is the goal that God wants America to look like? I don't even think the average Christian's thought that far. And I think the reason he hadn't thought that far is because so many evangelicals believe that there's going to be a rapture and he's going to snatch us all out of here. The world's going to be burned up and nothing's going to change significantly anyway. So it's because of this escapism that has been inbred into the evangelical movement for the past 150 years. This escapism that we haven't thought about. What kind of America are we working for? Do we want to be nostalgic and take America back to the way it was in the middle 1700s? Nope. We don't want to be nostalgic. We want to go beyond that. And so we've not only got to know history and how we got to where we are, but we've got to know, and I don't mean this in any kind of limited sense, we've got to know eschatology. That is, we've got to know where it is God wants us to get to in this time and space history. And thirdly, we've got to know how to get there. We've got to have a battle plan. I think I've said before on your show that it was a great change in my life when I realized the difference between the first and second commandments. Because when I was young, I thought they were both saying the same thing. I wouldn't admit to it, but it sounded like they're saying the same thing. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other God before thee. The second commandment says, don't make unto thee any graven images. Sounds sort of like the same thing to me back then. But when I realized the difference, that made a difference in my ministry. The first commandment says, worship and serve God alone. The second commandment is, worship and serve God alone, God's way alone. You cannot reach God's goals by using man's plans.
Wow.
That God's goal can be reached only when we commit ourselves to God's revealed way found in Holy Scripture, i.e. the law of God. We live in an antinomian age. Anti means against. Nomian comes from the Greek word law, anti-law. We live in an antinomian age. That is a culture that hates God's law. Psalm 2, rulers and nations that see God's law as chains to be broken and to escape from. And we see a malicious rejection of God's law, particularly today in the United States, in this culture. But we see it in the church. We see it in some Reformed churches. We see it in a lot of evangelical churches, and we see it in all liberal churches, that there is a plan to get from here to there. God has a plan towards reaching his goal for America or any culture. And it's revealed in the pages of the Old and New Testaments, in his law. We don't obey the law of God in order to make points, because the law of God can't save from sin. Jesus saves from sin. So the law, Jesus takes the law of God and drives us to himself, shows us there's no other way of salvation except in him. And in the moment the law of God drives us to Christ, Christ puts that law in his nail-scarred hand and says to us whom he saved, now here's how I want you to live. We've lost that. The law sounds so legalistic. We like to talk about the Spirit, about grace, and so do I, and I do. But remember, the longest chapter in the Bible is not about love or grace or the Spirit or even Jesus so much as it is about the law of God contained in Holy Scripture. And I'm preaching on a Second John Sunday. And there is a verse in Psalm 119 that I'm going to bring into the picture. And that is, I walk at liberty because I love your statutes. I'm free only when I stay on the path of the laws of God. You remember what Romans 12:1-4 say? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the power, the Spirit of life has set us free from the power of sin and death. What the law could not do, weak as it was, because of the flesh, Christ did by sacrificing himself in our place for our sin, verse 4, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not for us, that's another point, but that the law, the requirement of the law, which is obedience, might be fulfilled in our lives as we walk, not in our own power, which is frail, but as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So those are the three things America has given up on over 100 or so years ago. And I'm trying to be as practical as I can possibly be. We've got to know where we came from. Why Joe Biden was elected president in 2020. It was because the Puritans in the 18th century, unknowingly, as great as they were, brought their Thomism in with their Augustinianism.
Wow. There is, you may be aware of this, maybe you're not, but there is quite a controversy, a debate brewing these days over Thomas Aquinas and the importing of his philosophy into the church. They're sharply divided divisions and debates going on amongst Reformed Baptists and other theologically Reformed folks. And my dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, has been vilified by some because he is openly and adamantly opposed to the importing of Aquinas into our Reformed ways of thinking and teaching and living. And it's been quite an interesting thing.
Oh, I know something about it with reference to Brother White. I praise God for him. Here's the thing, realize, and we're talking about Reformed brothers here. We're talking about brothers that that would agree with us on all kinds of things. But the problem is what most people today, in our perspective, our people, say the problem is a deep state. We have a deep state. It's infiltrated everywhere. That is the superficial evaluation. The problem in America is not deep state. It's deep religion and deep faith. We have two religions in this country. We have two faiths in this country fighting for the future of our children and of this country. And one is an Augustinian Christianity that is going to cause grief to some of our good and faithful brothers who have not yet seen the seeds that Terry Eldon writes about in his book, the guise of every graceless heart. I mean, it's 100 pages long. I wish I could memorize the whole book because it is that important. I've read it over and over again. So I recommend all my brothers, particularly anybody that thinks I'm as crazy as James White is, and I hope I am as crazy as James White is, that my dear brothers, I challenge them. If they would buy from Rush Duty's organization, Cal Seton, this small hardback book called The Guise, G-U-I-S-E, of Every Graceless Heart, by Terry Elniff, E-L-N-I-F-F, on what happened to New England Puritanism.
Wow, I know I've got to get a hold of that. I have never heard of that book, obviously, nor have I read it. So I'd love to get a hold of that to be more up to speed on this, especially since I see this issue dividing brethren who once were very close friends and colleagues.
Has, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It always has.
Yeah.
It's nothing new about that. It's just that God gradually is opening the eyes of some of our brethren, and some of them just, they've had their eyes open to so many things that this view is so challenging. It's going to change a great deal to say that we cannot understand any area of life by reason alone. Now, all of us would say that to one degree or another, but they don't realize just how radical a statement that is. Politics, raising children, agriculture, horticulture. It's amazing what there is in the law of God, particularly Mosaic legislation, on how funerals, military waging war, building a church, building a nation, worshiping God. You see, the reason some of these brothers are real hostile is they may realize that the view that no area of life can be understood apart from the Word of God, they may realize that that's going to require them to give another good look at the laws of God in the Old Testament.
Interesting. Well, we have to go to our first break right now, Dr. Moorcraft, and if anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Moorcraft on his assessment of the 20th and 21st century, or assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. And, of course, since Dr. Moorcraft is a pastor and a theologian, we will broaden the area of questions that we will permit. You may have a pastoral question. You may have another issue of theology that you want to ask about. Well, feel free to, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And don't go away. We'll be back with Dr. Joe Moorcraft right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart?
consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti. Owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to Him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in His infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of His design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in His design. Thank you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today. Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. He is an author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. We are addressing part three of a theme that we began several weeks ago, an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks the question, I was wondering if Dr. Moorcraft could clarify on something that he said earlier. He was criticizing those who are constantly looking to the rapture of the church and escapism as one of the main problems in the church that has been plaguing us for centuries. But does Dr. Moorcraft believe that this will occur in our future? Is the issue really an overemphasis on the imminent return, or is it on the return itself? I am hoping that Dr. Moorcraft is not a hyper-preterist.
Very good question, and I assure you I am not. I believe the Bible and the Apostles' Creed that there is a coming a time in the future when majestically, historically, physically, Jesus Christ shall return. When he does, every eye shall see him. He'll raise everybody from the dead. Everybody that's living at the time will be transformed. They'll stand before him, and that'll be judgment day, and he'll separate the sheep from the goats, send the goats to hell. The sheep will be gathered unto himself. He'll rejuvenate the universe with fire. And we have a perfected new heavens, new earth. So I do most certainly believe in the second, the literal physical second coming of Christ at the very end of history as we know it. Now, that is the historical view of the church. What I was trying to get at was this escapism that has dominated the church for 150 years, maybe a little closer to 100. And that is the view that our only hope is escape, escapism, and that there's going to be an unknown time when all Christians will disappear, and the world's getting worse and worse and worse until that time, then all Christians will be raptured up into heaven, and then there'll be 7 years of terrible tribulation under an Antichrist. I do not believe that. And that is a new view that was not found in the church prior to the 1820s or 30s.
Pre-tribulationalism.
Yes, sir. That is a new view. And what has it done? It has ruined the church to any kind of culture engagement. That the only thing we can do is escape our enemies. Well, no, in the Bible, Christians don't escape their enemies. God destroys their enemies. And you go all the way back to Moses and Israel and the Egyptians. How did the Israelites survive? By God destroying Egypt with the plague and the Egyptian military in the Red Sea. And that's how they survived. And throughout history, you have this idea, this planet belongs to us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This planet belongs to the children of Abraham. That is, all those who believe in Christ, regardless of ethnic origin. It does not belong to the bad guys. They're the squatters. It's our inheritance. And we're irresponsible if we turn any inch of this planet over, or are happy to turn any inch of this planet over to the enemies of Christ. We must seek to retake it by the preaching of the gospel, by world missions, by evangelism, by Christian education, by the planting of churches and the changing of cultures all over this world. And when it comes to retaking the earth, which is ours by covenant, when it comes to that, we've got to make sure we're following God's plan and not our own. We don't want to just have a small group of people to impose themselves upon a larger group of people and then tell them what to do. The spearhead of any attempt to build Christian civilizations, the spearhead is evangelism and world missions of winning the hearts and minds of people to Christ. And having won their hearts and minds to Christ, then we proceed to educate them, to show them how to build states, churches, cultures, every aspect of civilization, according to the Word of God contained in Holy Scripture, and not according to human reason. So I'm glad you asked that question so I could clarify I'm not an escapist. I believe this world and everything in it, 1 Corinthians says, everything in it belongs to us because we belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. And so our responsibility is to advance his kingdom over all the other kingdoms of men. And I said a while ago that we not only must know where we came from, we've got to know what the goal is. We've got to know what is God's goal for a civilization. What does he want a civilization to look like? And there are several very good books on it. Two books I would recommend by Rush Dooney. They're small books, but you can't read them quickly. One's called This Independent Republic, and the other's called The Nature of the American System. This Independent Republic and The Nature of the American System. And then anything that Gary DeMar writes on civil government is worth getting, particularly his books, God and Government. There was a book written in 1900, which was the seminal book in teaching Christians how to take their cultures for Christ. We wouldn't agree with everything in it. We don't agree with everything any man wrote. The only thing we believe is infallible is the Word of God. But nevertheless, it is one of the greatest books in history. And it's called, it is written by Abraham Kuyper. And it was simply called Lectures on Calvinism. Sounds boring. It's not on what you would think it's on. People think of Calvinism. They only think of 5 points of Calvinism, soteriology, human depravity, limited atonement, all these things. But it's not on those things. It's on how the beginning is just little planting little seeds on how to build Christian cultures. And I would recommend that book to people. I don't recommend everything in it. I don't recommend everything I preached my life. Sunday morning, I'm preaching on 2 John. It's written to an elect lady and her children. I wrote a book on 2 John. I disagree now with myself years ago in the book on who the elect lady is. So the point I'm trying to get at is this man, Abraham Kuyper, interesting person. In many ways, we should imitate him. Let me just give a quick thumbnail sketch so you can see what I'm talking about, because I'm not just talking politics. Abraham Kuyper was a liberal. He was a liberal preacher, theological liberal.
That's before his conversion.
Oh, yeah. And a little lady in his church led him to Christ.
Yep.
And he was converted, and so he realized now that because he belonged to Christ, as well as everything else in the universe belonged to Christ, he needed to start a new denomination that was not theologically liberal. So he did. He said, we also need a place to send our children to be educated in higher education that's based upon Reformed principles, and he created a university. Then you realize we need some kind of church weekly newspaper so we keep in touch with each other. He started one. Then he realized we need a daily newspaper so we keep up with each person nationally and internationally. So he started one. He said, well, now we need a political party that can press the claims of these things we believe. And he started one. And then in the early part of the 20th century, got himself elected Prime Minister of Holland. So here's a man who realized, as he said, and I wish I had it on my, on my tongue, I got it in my brain, Jesus, he said, there's not one inch anywhere in the universe about which Christ cannot say, this is mine. And that's the way we look. America belongs to Christ. It's not enough to be conservative. It's not enough to be constitutional. There's things about the Constitution that need to be reformed by the Word of God. So get some of these books and read them. This Independent Republic, the Nature of the American System. And what's easier to read is Gary DeMar's books, God and Government. And there's a lot of others, too.
Well, we got to go our midway break now, folks. And please be patient with us, because the midway break is longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires of them to make clear that the programming is based out of a station in Lake City, Florida. They have to geographically localize all of the programming to Lake City, Florida. And therefore, they have to air their own public service announcements and other local things to do so. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information provided by our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. Hopefully, that will often mean that you're purchasing their products, using their services, supporting their parachurch organizations, and visiting their churches. But when you cannot do those things, please, at the very least, respond to our advertisers using their contact information in their radio commercials to say thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is, if indeed you love the show and are grateful to those who are sharing some of their hard-earned money with us in order for us to survive. If you really are grateful for that because you love the show, please thank our sponsors. We cannot survive without our sponsors, folks. We absolutely, positively need our advertisers to exist. So thank them and send in your questions to Dr. Joe Moorcraft at chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnsen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice. I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs with Mother's Day and Father's Day and wedding anniversaries and baptism celebrations and condolence gifts that you're compelled to give to loved ones who are grieving and mourning over the loss of a loved one of their own. For any kind of an event that moves you to purchase a gift for someone, even if it's just to tell them that you love them and that you're thinking about them, go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and give a gift that has eternal significance. God has used over the centuries good books by godly men and godly women to lead the lost to Christ. And your lost friends and loved ones are no exception. You should be not only purchasing good Christian books for your Christian brothers and sisters, you should be also doing so for the lost folks in your life. So always remember solid-ground-books.com and always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you make a purchase. And please always remember that you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com a favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such remarkable men of God like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com today and frequently, and always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III and our discussion of an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. This is the third edition, or the third episode, or third installment of this topic that we began several weeks ago. Before we return to that, I just want to remind you of a couple of things. If you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, then click support, then click to donate now. And you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a check the old-fashioned way by going to your local postal service and mailing a physical check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to a physical address, well, you could do that too. When you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, a physical address will appear on the screen as well where you can mail that check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never take money out of the money that you have set aside to give to your local church where you are a member. in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't give your own church less money than you're accustomed to giving them by giving us some money. Please don't do that. Don't put your family in real serious jeopardy financially by giving the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you're struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please use some of that extra money that God has blessed you with to help us continue on the airwaves. Please, if you have extra money for sporting events, for concerts, for fine dining, for fast food dining, for recreational purposes, for trivial purposes, money that is collecting interest in the bank, and you really don't want us to go away, then please share some of that money with us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We truly thank God from the very depths of our hearts for the extraordinary act of benevolence and kindness recently demonstrated by Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, in their renewal of an ad campaign that we actually hope starts very soon once we get the ad recorded. And we thank Dr. Moorcraft and Elder Tim Renshaw and everybody at that fine congregation for helping us. If you'd like to advertise with us too, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church because I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may even have a church to recommend that's within minutes from where you live in all parts of the world. I have already done that for many people in our audience spanning the globe. So if you are in that predicament, or somebody that you love is in that predicament of not having a biblically solid church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That is also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III as we continue our discussion on part three of an assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st century. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have a listener, Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, "Do you think one of the reasons that those who really cling to Thomas Aquinas as a great hero that we must emulate and imitate and glean much of his philosophy in order to function properly in the church, that these same people are very often evidentialists rather than presuppositionalists because of their overemphasis on human reason?"
Yes. Next question. I think the great thing is, I have a saying, you know, viva la inconsistency. Is some of my dear friends who say they're evidentialists and not presuppositionalists are extremely inconsistent with that. They love God's law. They think God's law applies to every area of life. They believe that you cannot reason a person to Christianity. He must be born again before he can believe. So there are these inconsistencies in all of us. We try our best not to be inconsistent. We try to be consistent with the truth. And I'm seeing more and more people who think they're evidentialists, who think they like Thomas Aquinas' philosophy, really don't. In fact, this revival of the Reformed faith that I keep talking about that to me began in the late middle 20th century continues to advance, that in the 21st century, that frequently it just continues. I hear of something else that has been started that God has used to reach thousands of people. I don't say this to flatter you, Chris, but I think Iron Shop and Zion is one of those major institutions that not only is an evidence that there is a revival, but is an instrument that will advance it so that people all over the world are listening to you. I told you the other day on the phone about a Persian guy in England that spreads your programs to his own listenership. There are several institutes of higher learning that are thoroughly reformed that have been established over the past decade, one within the past year, and that one is called Christendom Bible College. Christendom Bible College. It's in a small town not far from Cincinnati, Ohio. It is a one-year college program. Every single one of the faculty is a thoroughly reformed Christian.
Praise God.
I have graduate degrees. The man that is behind it is a man named Kevin Clausen, C-L-A-U-S-E-N. He's been around a long time in reformed academic circles. And I would recommend you go to Google and look up Christendom Bible College, because it is a great place where you can send your children and grandchildren for a year before you send them anywhere else. It's going to present people, young people, with a distinctively Christian and biblical worldview. Another one of those institutions is Greenville Theological Seminary. Seminaries in the past have fallen very quickly to compromise views of the Reformed faith. Greenville Theological Seminary is it's about a decade old. But it is one that I wouldn't hesitate to send young men for if you want to send a young man to seminary to prepare for the ministry. It's the only seminary in the country that I can recommend, largely because of the influence of the former president, Joseph Piper.
And he is still on the faculty.
Yeah.
And he is the president emeritus now.
Right. And so they also have a program that my brother-in-law went through. I think it's a year long, but it's a seminary program just for elders.
By the way, Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary has been in existence for over 30 years, not a decade. Just thought I'd let you know.
30 years, that is true. Like a friend of mine says, time flies when you're not paying attention. But also, there is another form of education that is not institutional. It's by means of historical tours. And it's called Landmark Tours.
Yes, I've interviewed Bill Potter on the program.
And Bill Potter, who's one of my very dear friends, is the man who takes tours to the various places in the country and in England and Scotland, and teaches them what went on there in terms of history, Reformation history, World War II history, Civil War history, whatever. He's one of the foremost Christian historians in the country. He has a few lectures on sermonaudio.com, but I would also look up Landmark Tours. It's for families, and it's a great and fun way to take a vacation and also to learn, advance your knowledge of history firsthand. And then there is Kevin Swanson. Kevin Swanson is a preacher who is very involved in advancing the goals of homeschool. He has a conference in his own house every year that I used to go to back when I could walk, he has men come to this house, and he teaches them all the various aspects of the Reformed faith. He's one of those great men. And then there is New St. Andrews University in Moscow, Scotland, Moscow, Idaho. And then there is New Geneva Academy, I think in Appomattox, Virginia. I've seen several people come out of that one particularly, and they have been very sound. So there are things happening everywhere, and I praise the Lord for it.
Well, I want to thank you for such a glowing commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Somebody of your caliber to say such words is going to have me flying like a kite for quite a while.
Well, I really meant it. It's a very, very useful instrument of God, and I pray that there'll be more of them. And I look forward to almost every week something else will come up. For instance, I don't think I've mentioned this. Our church is connected with an organization owned by people in our church called Christian Fine Arts of Forsyth County. It has some 200 young people from elementary through high school, and it teaches them whatever you want to know about music and a musical worldview. It has marching bands, chorales, orchestras, chamber music. You can learn almost any musical instrument you want to learn. They even teach karate. But it has been around for many years and has influenced a great many young people from all kinds of denominations. That's just another example. Look up Christian Fine Arts of Forsyth, Forsyth.
So the next time you're tempted to make fun of somebody who's performing chamber music, you never know when they're going to be a black belt, so you better shut up.
That is exactly right. That's exactly right. And so we could go on all day talking about these places around the country and world. I tried to think this week. There is a German Institute of Reformed Theology. I had lunch with the head guy there, but my German's not that great, so I can't remember it. But I praise the Lord. Now, let me say I also believe that in the present state of things, that God is giving us a little breathing room with all of these new things that are starting. But my overall attitude is I expect things to get worse in this culture before they get better.
And this is coming from a post-millennialist.
That is true, that I don't believe the line upward is straight. I believe that the line is up and upward, it is up and down. And there's times in which God is chastening the church like he is now. There's times in which God is getting the church ready for better things in the future. I pray that's where we are. I think the quicker we learn the lessons that he has to teach us, the sooner we can get out of the mess we're in. But we didn't get here simply. It took years of betrayal. It took centuries of betrayal. Now, the thing I'm, however, is to show you how optimistic I am, although I'm a realist. I don't believe things, you know, the Bible says the problem with the false prophets in Israel's day is they wanted to declare Israel healed too quickly. But they're Europe was in the, quote, dark ages for 1,000 years. Now, I don't believe they were completely dark, but I believe the church had betrayed them for 1,000 years. In less than one generation, through the Protestant reformers, Northern Europe was transformed by the gospel. Less than one generation after 1,000 years a false doctrine. And not only less than a generation, but out of that generation comes the birth of America. And if it wasn't for this Reformation that took place in the 16th century in Northern Europe, there never would have been an America. Now, that's not a racist statement. I'm not saying that America was built simply by Europeans. There are also Africans involved. But I am saying that in spite of the fact that they were European, in spite of the fact that many of them were Anglo-Saxon, they had been reformed by the Word of God. And it's not because of their European nature, it's because of what God had done in their heart that they were able to create a culture here that has been one of the most prosperous and significant cultures in history. What's interesting is you compare North and South America. South America has more resources than North America. And yet South America, go backward, it has petty dictatorships. It has a great amount of poverty. And the reason is because South America was populated by Roman Catholics. And North America was populated by Protestants. And God blessed Protestantism to create a great, though not perfect, civilization in North America that has influenced all the nations of the world for Christ. Now, for evil, but through the centuries, they have sent missionaries and people to influence all over the world. So the Protestant Reformation goes from Northern Europe to North America to the whole world. And I don't think that it's going to stop until all the nations of the world have been brought to bow before Christ. There will be ups and downs, like we're going through right now. There's no easy way out of Biden. There's a simple way out, but there's no easy way out. Because to get out of what's going on, which means newspapers, schools, politicians, churches, the simple answer is that we must repent and renew our faith in Christ and obey His law. There is no other answer. And the people most responsible for where we are today in the United States, not the politicians. Politicians have a great amount to answer for. It's not the scientists and the educators. They have a lot to answer for. The ones most responsible for where we are now, propagating falsehood and anti-Christianity and compromised Christianity, are the pastors in the churches. The pulpit in this country has always been, from its start, the most powerful influence on culture. In the early days, it was the most powerful influence on American culture from a Christian perspective. Since the middle 19th century, it's been the most powerful influence in the advancement of evil.
Now, do you think one of the things that I have observed over the years, I have been in Christian media for the greater percentage, the majority of my adult life. And that means I have been surrounded by and witnessed a lot of different varieties of professing evangelicalism. And I have come to conclude, and maybe you agree with this, that one of the reasons why the church has been not only turning a blind eye to sin, but even at times celebrating it, is because of a warped and unbiblical and false version of love.
How true is that?
They want to remove the sting of rebuke from sermons and even conversations. They do not want to warn about hell. They don't want to command men everywhere to repent. They want to coddle people and comfort them in the midst of their unrepentance. They have become wickedly soft on the sin of homosexuality, basically following the footsteps of leftists, treating this as if it is an ethnic group or a nationality, a subcategory of humanity, these homosexuals, rather than treating it the way the Bible treats it, a damnable and abominable and unnatural sin. And of course, that's not the only sin, but it seems that a lot of this is based on a false version of love, which may be connected to a lust for growth in numbers in local churches, denominations, and so on. They think that the only way we're going to grow numbers here, fill the seats that we want to fill, and fill the seats that are going to be in our expanded facilities that we are building, is to be as kind and as accommodating to the goats in this world, and putting out troughs filled with goat food, so that more people will come and fill those seats, regardless of whether they are repentant and regenerate. So your comments on that.
You've just preached my sermon for Sunday on Second John. I mean, that is the point of Second John. Second John tells us to love people, but not loving somebody that means hurting somebody else. That love has its limits. And that love is obeying the commandments of God. There's no such thing as lawless love. That if we're not loving somebody in terms of how God demands us to treat other people, we're not loving them no matter how affectionate we may feel for him in our hearts. That there's time after time in the New Testament in which love is defined not as a feeling, not as something warm and fuzzy, but as obedience to the commandment of God from the heart, treating somebody the way they should be treated, and bearing in mind other people. For instance, some great, in quotes, Christian scholars are very critical of Second John. They say that Second John is not loving, because it says if a heretical teacher comes to your house to try to convince you of a falsehood, don't let him in your house, and don't even say goodbye to him. Now, we don't do that today. It seems so unloving. And yet I think the reason that seems so harsh is because we don't appreciate fully the glory of God and the deceitfulness of sin and the deceit of false doctrine. God wrote 2 John through the Apostle John. And God says to us, walk in the truth. Walk in love. You can't walk in love if you're not walking in the truth. You're not walking in the truth if you're not walking in love. And that love has boundaries. That don't show love and kindness to somebody if it's going to hurt somebody else that's good. And when some false teacher and heretic teacher try to influence in you, don't even be friendly to them, because false doctrine is so evil and God is so glorious.
Amen. Isn't it interesting that a blueprint for the church, the book of Acts, never mentions the word love once?
Didn't realize that. That's pretty good.
So I don't have to interrupt you in mid-sentence. I'm going to take our final break right now, and it's going to be a lot shorter than the other breaks if anybody wants to join us on the air. with a question for Dr. Moorcraft, send it to chrisarns@gmail.com. chrisarns@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence, and only remain anonymous if the question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III and his assessment of the church in the 20th and 21st centuries, part three.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnton is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Welcome back. Dr. Moorcraft, it seems that throughout the entire history of Christendom, there is a roller coaster going on where horrible things occur to the church and horrible things spring out of the professing church. And then God blesses the faithful and rises up men of God and even movements of God that restore truth and spread the gospel. And then there eventually comes a day when that downslide begins again. Would you agree with that? That even as we saw as recent as the fundamentalist modernist controversy in the early 19th, or should I say early 20th century, where we had all of these denominations collapsing to liberalism, you had rise up faithful men like Machen, who we mentioned in our last program, and others who restored biblical truth to the denominations or created new denominations and new seminaries and so on. Would you think that that is something that is true and that should give us hope as we look around us and may fall into despair seeing how bad things are?
I'll never forget years and years and years ago what Ian Murray told me. Ian Murray was the founder of Banner of Truth. He's up in years now, but many, many years ago he told me. He said, Joe, you know the Bible says that Someday the earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He said, I believe that's going to happen like waves on the seashore. He said, waves come up on the seashore and then they go back off the seashore. And the next time they come up the seashore just a little farther. And then they go back. And then the next time it comes up just a little farther. He said, I think that's what we have seen and will see in the history of the church. That the church will grow and the kingdom of God will advance gradually and progressively like waves.
Amen. And perhaps you could, before we run out of time, rather than leaving on a dark note, you might want to offer some more encouraging words about what you witness and experience in the body of Christ in the 21st century.
Like I said the last time, the great preachers today are the people that nobody's heard of. Now, there are some great preachers. There are some celebrity Calvinists that I don't like, but there are some that are good. I mean, like Stephen Lawson is a very good preacher of the gospel, and I enjoy listening to him. But the people that I'm talking about, that I'm more excited about, are the pastors of churches, some of them small, not so small. For instance, I've had a preach at a conference in Southern California. It was a Greg Bonson conference, and I preached at it, and it was the largest congregation in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. It had hundreds and hundreds of members, and the pastor sound, the associate pastor sound. So there are some big churches that are faithful to Scripture, but not many. Most of them now are small churches. Some are dying out, some are growing, and more are being planted. I just talked to a young man today, or yesterday or today, who's coming to see me in a couple weeks, if he passes his ordination exam, and he's planting a new church, and he's thoroughly reformed. And this is happening everywhere. I know another young man in South Carolina, another young man in East Virginia, that they are everywhere in this country and literally everywhere in the world. And so I am excited about what God is doing. I have the utmost confidence that his kingdom is triumphant. I think it will. There'll be times of struggle. I think that the seed of the martyr, the blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. I think there'll be a lot of bloodshed. But blood is always a great seed. Let me tell you real quick. We only have a few minutes, but I'll tell you about an evangelist in Romania. I think in our lifetime. His name was Son, T-S-O-N, I think. And this was back during the communist era. And they arrested him. And they told him that they were going to kill him because of people being influenced by his preaching and his tracts and his booklets. And Son said this after they arrested him. He said, that's okay. That's okay if you kill me. As long as you understand a couple things. The most powerful thing I can do in the advance of the gospel is die. The most powerful thing you can do in the advance of the gospel is kill me. If you kill me, that's going to baptize with blood all of my tracts and sermons and tapes, and I'll be far more influential for Christ dead. That I am alive. They didn't kill him.
Amen.
as much as we hate persecution, and as much as I expect more persecution in this country, it's going to be a powerful instrument in the hand of God. They're just killing them. They never learn the more they kill us, the more they're killing themselves, actually. You've seen it throughout history. We'll see it again. There's going to be, in my opinion, more persecution of the church in this country and in the world, but it's just nails in their own coffin.
Amen. And would you say something that I have recognized, something that saddens me, and I may have even brought this up to you before. I know I brought it up to other people. But those who are theologically sound and doctrinally solid in many ways have remarkably at times, very often actually, in wanting to see strength in numbers, in feeling too much of a minority numerically in this enormous, monumental, colossal task that we have in front of us, evangelizing the world in the midst of such a satanic culture, they seek to find strength numerically by aligning with those that may agree with us on Christian morals, and they wind up linking arms and anointing figuratively those who have a false gospel as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm speaking especially about the Roman Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodoxy, and this happens far too often with Reformed believers, even brilliant Reformed men who I admire greatly in many other ways.
Unity in the church is based on truth. It's not based on feelings. It's based on truth. And only if we walk away from the truth or compromise the truth or act like not believing the truth is not that important, we lose. You cannot even tell a false teacher goodbye if he comes to your house.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all the information they need to find out more about Heritage Presbyterian Church and some of the other things that you are involved in. First of all, Heritage Presbyterian Church's website is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. HeritagePresbyterianChurch.com, a very easy website to remember, obviously. And then there is a website for Dr. Moorcraft's commentary on the larger catechism, WestminsterCommentary.com, WestminsterCommentary.com. And also you can find out more about other writings of Dr. Moorcraft, in addition to sermons and so on, by going to comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. Do you have any final words that you'd like to say to our listeners before we go off the air?
And then go to sermonaudio.com, where we have about 2,500 messages, and of course they're all free to download, but thank you for having me on, because it's really always a joy and encouragement to me.
Oh, it's always a joy and encouragement to me to have you on. And I always, before and during and after having interviews with you, I always have people contact me telling me how much they love hearing you exposit the scriptures, discuss history, and anything that flows from your God-given mind. I have a growing number of listeners discovering you and falling in love with you and praying for your ministry. And I am just so thrilled for the friendship that has formed between us over the years. And I look forward to collaborating with you in kingdom work, God willing, for many years to come.
And I look forward to meeting you.
Oh, yeah. You know, we have never met face to face. That's amazing to me. Well, I'm going to have to, the next time I go to the G3 conference in Atlanta, I'm going to have to make a trip to wherever you are in coming. And
I'll pay for your lunch.
All right. I will do that. And I appreciate that. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank everybody who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.